Welcome to Puentes, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is Southwest Environmental Center's Executive Director, Kevin Bixby, with an overview of their projects and events and about Earth Day. Southwest Environmental Center, also known as SWEC, was established in 1991. It's a member-supported grassroots conservation organization. Kevin, how long have you been with SWEC?
I've been there since the beginning. I helped get the Southwest Environmental Center off the ground, and except for a brief hiatus up in Santa Fe when I worked for the state, I've served as executive director ever since for the Southwest Environmental Center.
What did you do before?
Well, I was in graduate school in Michigan and moved to Las Cruces with my now wife, who I met in graduate school. She was also in graduate school, and that was about 25 years ago. We moved to Las Cruces. We both started nonprofits. It took a little while to get the Environmental Center off the ground. I did some work for the Bulletin and did some freelance writing.
What was your passion for starting the Environmental Center?
Well, I've always had an interest in wildlife and nature and the outdoors, and you know, even back in high school, I was volunteering at the local ecology center, as it was called. I studied biology in college and studied natural resources policy in graduate school. You know, it's just been a lifelong love of mine, interest in the outdoors and concern for the preservation of wildlife and nature.
How have you seen the preservation from when you first started at Southwest Environmental Center till now, the preservation of this area?
Well, I've seen an awareness really has increased. The general awareness of the environment has increased in the Las Cruces area quite a bit from when we started. I've really been happy to see that. You know, I think it's increased probably worldwide. People are more aware of our environment now. And locally, we're seeing, I think, policies, more interest in enacting policies to protect the environment. But we're not really seeing that at the national level.
What conservation programs have you started and continue to work on?
Well, our mission is to protect and restore native wildlife and their habitats in the southwestern borderlands. And the reason we do the work that we do is because worldwide, plants and animals are going extinct at a rate much faster than they would ordinarily due to human activities. And these include all sorts of activities that cause habitat fragmentation, habitat loss, over-harvesting of species, as is happening in the oceans with sharks, for example, and pollution, including climate change. So this is happening on a global scale, and the Southwest Environmental Center exists to try and reverse that process, stop and reverse it here in our region. So the programs that we have, we've been working for quite a while now to restore habitats along the Rio Grande. Rivers in the Southwest are extraordinarily important places for plants and animals. Something like 3/4 of vertebrate species of wildlife depend upon these areas alongside rivers and wetlands for their survival. And so if you want to protect native wildlife in the Southwest, a good place to start is down by the river. So we've done some habitat restoration projects. One of them started out as the Picacho Wetland Restoration Project, and it evolved into becoming the Mesilla Valley Bosque State Park, something that we're very proud of. We're continuing to do that work. We're working now on a project called La Mancha Wetland Restoration Project, and when it's finished, it will provide a year-round habitat for native fish and other species that require water for their survival.
What does a restoration project entail?
Well, when let's go back 500 years, let's say when Don Juan de Oñate was passing by, he would have found a very different place. The Mesilla Valley would have been a very different place. Back then, before the dams, the river was and its floodplain were really a mecca for wildlife. And there were a variety of natural habitats, a mosaic, actually. You'd find the bosques, the trees. You'd find meadows, you'd find wetlands, you'd find ponds and multiple channels of the river. And this mosaic of habitats was just a magnet for wildlife. Incredible numbers of not only diversity of species, but great abundance of birds, for example. So, you know, today, of course, the valley is very different. It's mostly taken up with farming. And so restoring the river, we're trying to restore the Rio Grande ecosystem to the way it was in the past, but on a much smaller scale, given the extent of farming and development of our cities into the floodplain and the amount of water and the way it's regulated so carefully these days. So what we want to do is create these pearls, if you will, on a string of pearls up and down the river, these pearls of restored habitat where, like I said, fish and other aquatic creatures can survive in the wintertime when there's no water or very little water in the river. And if we have enough of these going up and down the river, we can actually sustain viable populations of fish and other animals.
And how do you do that? By creating ponds?
Yes. Our current project, La Mancha, is we have 3 acres of land that we own outright, the Southwest Environmental Center. And on that land, we are excavating a pond, which will hold water year-round, and then it will be connected to the river. And when the water in the river is at certain levels, it will flow through a connecting channel into our pond, and fish will be able to move back and forth between the pond and the river. When the river dries again, when it drops, fish will be stranded in our pond, and they'll be able to survive until the next time the river comes up. And what this does is it actually, although it's very engineered, it actually mimics the way the river used to function, because the river didn't always flow at the same level year-round. There would be peak flows in the late spring, early summer, following snowmelt in the mountains upstream. And then you get the river would flood. Then it would retreat again, and you'd have low flows, and fish and other creatures would be stranded in these channels that were cut off from the river.
So that's with the La Mancha project, which should be completed when? So, or is that an ongoing project?
Well, it would have been completed quite a while ago, except that we are sort of in bureaucratic limbo, waiting for the Office of the State Engineer to act on an application to apply. It's actually an application submitted by the City of Las Cruces to apply some of the city's groundwater rights to this project. And that application was submitted to the state engineer almost 2 years ago, and it still hasn't been processed. And we can't go forward with the project until that application's approved. So we're just waiting for the good folks at the state engineer's office to finish that.
But you have accomplished many other things. There's the desert lands and wildlife, fighting for the diversity of cacti in the Chihuahuan Desert. Is that one of the projects that you're working on and have completed or not?
Well, yeah, we have plenty to do. We're not sitting around twiddling our thumbs. We have other campaigns. We've been working for quite a while now to protect a place called Otero Mesa, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, remaining tract of desert grasslands in North America. And it's only about 2 hours from here by car, not very far, but it's not on the way to anywhere. It's between here and Carlsbad, and it's just not on any road that most people travel, just a few ranch roads. It's really an extraordinary place and a very extraordinary example of a surviving Chihuahuan desert grassland with lots of grass, obviously, but also a great diversity of cacti. And lots of different animals that depend upon grasslands. And grasslands generally in North America have been converted to other uses and reduced in their extent more so than most natural habitats.
Since it's not a widely traveled destination, how do you get people to know about it? How do you get people out there to appreciate it?
That's a great question. We occasionally take people out there. We took some folks out as part of our spring 2013 Back by Noon outing series. We'll do that again. It's an all-day trek, and more so than taking people out there, we have photos that we show people there. We have photos on our website. There's actually a book that we sell at the center about Otero Mesa with some really great photos. So, and we talk about it, of course. And one of the things that we do is we have a door-to-door canvas that operates in Las Cruces and sometimes in El Paso. So this is part of our outreach efforts to make people aware of what the issues are and our work to protect these places. And we go and we knock on doors and tell people about Otero Mesa.
So what's one of the things that you tell them that's very significant?
Well, this is a national treasure that's in our backyard that most people are not aware of. And it's threatened. It's threatened by oil and gas development, and it's also threatened by hard rock mining. And people need to be aware of that. And we initially were trying to get Congress to pass legislation to create a national conservation area or something like that, something similar that would protect the area. We've given up on Congress, as many have, and we are now focusing on the executive branch and calling on President Obama to create a national monument under the Antiquities Act, the authority he has under the Antiquities Act. So that's what we tell people.
So you talked about your Back by Noon outings, and you have several of them throughout the year?
Yes. These are, guided Saturday morning natural history walks. And generally, we get you back to your car right around noon.
About how many people attend?
We limit the participation so that it's a quality experience. So generally, somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 people. Depends. If it's a plant walk where what you're looking at is not going to fly away, then we can have a few more people. But the bird walks, we'll probably cap at 20. So everyone gets to see what the guide is talking about. And these are unique because we have guides that lead them and can are knowledgeable about whatever it is that we're looking at. So we offer two series each year, one in the spring and one in the fall. And we go to places all over the place. We went to Kilbourne Hole earlier this year. We actually did a couple of new ones this year. We went to see some of the World War II bombing target sites out to the west of Las Cruces on the west side of the Robledo Mountains. Those are very interesting. I'd lived here for 25 years, and I had never heard of those.
And I've never heard of them. So that's something new. That's something that people can find out by going to visiting your offices. And I understand you have a 600-gallon Rio Grande aquarium.
Right. As part of our work to restore habitats along the Rio Grande and to protect the Rio Grande, we have a very large aquarium in our office, which is open to the public. The office, not the aquarium. we're open Monday through Friday and often on Saturday mornings, 9 to 6. Yes, this is the Rio Grande Aquarium, and it contains fish that live in the river around here in southern New Mexico or used to be found in the river. And in the latter category, we have some long-nosed gar, which are very interesting fish. They get to be about 3 feet long. We've had ours for 10 years now. They once occurred in the Rio Grande in New Mexico. They've been extirpated from the New Mexico portion, but they're probably still in Texas in the Rio Grande. And they're still in the Pecos River in New Mexico, which is where we got our specimens.
What else can we find at your office?
Well, we have an eco shop where we sell our hiking guide, for example. We publish a hiking guide. It's called Day Hikes and Nature Walks in the Las Cruces, El Paso area. It has 40 hikes. It's the only hiking guide that's focused exclusively on this area. And the hikes come in a range of difficulty from the ridiculously easy to the very strenuous. And that's written by Greg McGee. You can also buy T-shirts there and other books and so on. We also have an art space we call the Cottonwood Gallery, and we have different types of exhibits up there. Most recently, we had a collection of photos taken by the Doña Ana Camera Club of the Mesilla Valley Bosque State Park. That was a really nice show. And then we rent out space, office space, to other organizations as well.
And they can then also find your Back by Noon outings. The next one then coming up around Earth Day is Discovering the Tonuco Mountains. I understand there's something very special also for Earth Day that you're going to be raffling off. What is it, your sixth year of raffling off a Toyota Prius?
Yes. This is something that we've been doing every year now, for 6 years. It's become very popular, and it's one of our major fundraisers. We are very grateful to Las Cruces Toyota for giving us a great deal on the car. This year, we're raffling off a Prius C. It's one of the new models. It's really a cool car. You know, one of the things about this that really is hard to do is Environmental Center staff and board are not allowed to win the car. But it's a really nice car, I can tell people. And we're only selling 400 tickets. So your chances of winning are very good. You can buy a ticket at our office, or you can go online to wildmesquite.org, and you can buy your ticket there.
And your offices are in downtown Las Cruces, 275 North Main Street. And now that the streets are opened up, how does it feel being with an open road in front of your offices?
It's great. I think they've done a fantastic job on Main Street. And, you know, when we moved down there, it was like, zombie land. There was no one down there during the week. And now it's becoming more lively.
An environmental improvement?
Well, you know, you always want to move towards getting people out of their cars, but it clearly didn't work the way it had been done in the past. So I think it's helping to revitalize downtown. And I think actually that will end up, in the long run, being better environmentally because people will want to live downtown as well as visit downtown if there's a viable downtown. And if people live near where they eat and where they work and so on, that's good.
Going back to Earth Day, how is SWEC going to be involved with Earth Day besides the Prius raffling?
We have a few events related to Earth Day. Thursday, April 18th, we are sponsoring a talk at the Rio Grande Theater, 7 o'clock. It's open to the public. It's free. A talk by a gentleman named Harvey Stone. And he will be talking about climate change, climate dominoes, which way will they fall? Yeah, he's a very interesting gentleman from Santa Fe. He's written a bestseller called Melting Down. Well, I don't know if it's a bestseller, but it's a novel, a thriller about climate change, a climate thriller novel. And he's also been a consultant to Apple and a lot of other large corporations on sustainability and climate change. So he'll start off the talk with clips from the powerful documentary about the disappearing Arctic ice called Chasing Ice. And then he'll talk about what's happening globally, nationally, as well as the implications for Las Cruces. So that's Thursday night, April 18th at 7 o'clock at the Rio Grande Theater.
So then for the weekend, when will the drawing be held?
Yes, then we'll be giving away the Prius. We'll be pulling the winning ticket in our Prius raffle at the Las Cruces Earth Day Fair, which will be at Young Park on Sunday, April 21st. And I believe the events start, the fair starts at 11, and this is being sponsored by an organization, a student organization at NMSU called Oasis. And they do a great job, and there will be a lot of different vendors and booths and entertainment and music and so on. And somewhere in the afternoon, we'll get up on stage and we'll pull the winning ticket for the Prius.
That'll be exciting. So how would you like to see the next 10 years for Earth Day, a celebration of changes here in our environment?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I always tell people that Earth Day is something that we do every day of the year. It's good to, you know, for folks to remember the planet that we live on has finite resources and we need to take care of it. So, you know.
What is Earth Day?
What is Earth Day? Earth Day, I would like to see Earth Day become a time when society generally recognizes that it needs to protect the earth and it needs to protect all the plants and animals that we share the earth with. And so I'd like to see it sort of become a national and even a global acknowledgement that we all share a vision for a healthy planet.
Well, I thank you for sharing your vision for a healthy planet coming down to Puentes, and you've been a bridge to the community for many years. And again, Kevin Bixby, Southwest Environmental Center's Executive Director. Thank you.
Thank you.
For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.